And good evening to you all. Time goes so quickly, it seems to go quicker here than in the Faroe Islands, I don't know. But we have been here already 2 months now, soon, and it seems so short time since we came. And on Wednesday night will be my last night that I will have the opportunity to speak to you. And at this time I want to thank you very much for letting us be with you and the fellowship that we have shared with your kindness and hospitality, both as individuals as well as assembly. Let us now turn to the Word of God again and read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we will start reading with the first verse. We will first read the first 8 verses, and then from verse 12 to 23. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Then verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be raised, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruit of them that sleep or slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. May God bless his word to us further on tonight. In Time magazine, due to come out tomorrow, the 8th of April, the leading article there is called The Search for Jesus. You might have seen it and read it. There are some liberal Bible scholars that have, for the last 10 years, have had a seminar that they call the Jesus Seminar. And they debunk the Gospels and the New Testament and blackball the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Among some of these liberals are even theologians, so-called Christian theologians, who deny the miracles and the gospel records. They deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they deny the Lord Jesus Christ himself. These men are materialistic, although they call themselves Christians, some of them perhaps. They are mortal skeptics who do not know the scriptures as the Lord Jesus said to the Sadducees of his day, and they do not know the power of God. They have never experienced the power of God and the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Acts 23, verse 8, that the Sadducees did not believe in angels and in spirits, neither in the resurrection. And of course they did not believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, nor in a general resurrection of human beings. There are many Sadducees today who neither believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe in angels or in spirits. But the Lord Jesus Christ is our authority. What he said and what he did makes it 100% certain and sure for us, and gives us the assurance that the Bible is the inspired word of God, and we believe in the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ performed in the Gospels, and we believe in his deity. We believe also that he died really, actually on the cross, was buried, and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, as we read and as our brother read from that wonderful account of Matthew in chapter 28. When Paul was speaking or preaching to the Jews, and among the Jews were the Sadducees. The Pharisees were there. They believed in the resurrection. And it is interesting to read, for example, in Acts chapter 23, where it says about the Sadducees that they didn't believe in the resurrection. In Acts 23, I want to read one or two verses here. verse 6 and 8. Here Paul says, and when he, yeah, we can read from verse 6, yeah. But then Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees. He cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. And when he had said, so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And then in chapter 24 of Acts, in verse 14 and 15, Paul is before Felix. And listen what he here says in Acts 24 and verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And then in chapter 26, two verses, verse 6 and 8, Acts 26, verse 6 to 8. Here he stands before Agrippa, and he says, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto the our fathers, unto which promise are 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? And this is the question tonight. Why should it be incredible or unbelievable that God should raise and has the power to raise up dead men? It is a proven fact. Actually, it is the best proven record of history. The event that happened on the resurrection, the best proven fact of history, says Josh McDowell in his book, that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. It is a wonderful study to study the scriptures regarding this wonderful truth. In Luke 24, when the two disciples came back from Emmaus, where the Lord had revealed himself to them as resurrected or alive, they came back to the disciples and said, "The Lord is risen indeed." In our translation, it says, "It is really true that the Lord Jesus is risen and is alive." So firstly tonight, I want to speak as my first point on the fact of the resurrection. All the four gospel recorded, the Acts, the epistles, verify it. And in John's Gospel, chapter 20, we see what Peter and John experienced when they came to the sepulchre, and John went in first, or came to the grave first, and Peter then came and went into the grave itself and saw what was there. Perhaps we should turn to it, John's Gospel chapter 20. It says in verse 3, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, no doubt John, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scriptures, that he must rise again from the dead. So it says here that when John went in, or the other disciple, he saw and he believed. What was it he saw? It was so obvious to him what he saw that it proved to him that something supernatural, something divine had happened. The Lord Jesus Christ, who had been wrapped into the grave clothes, had come out of the grave clothes, and they lie there. They were not unwrapped. They lie there just as when he was laid into the grave. And he saw and believed. And later on, they understood from the scriptures that the Lord Jesus Christ had spoken about it, and it was the fulfillment of what the Bible, the scriptures already had spoken of. So the Lord Jesus Christ really, truly rose from the dead, and the scriptures testify about it. Secondly, we have seven witnesses in the portion that we read here in 1 Corinthians 15. The first witness is the scriptures, as I already have mentioned. In verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 15, it says, according to the scriptures, he both died and was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. So the scriptures are our first witness. And then he was seen by Cephas, and Cephas was Peter, which is his name here. And this he says in verse 5. The third witness was the 12 apostles. They were called the 12, although Judas was not in the number. This was verse 5. And then in verse 6, fourthly, we see that more than 500 brethren saw him at once or at the same time. And then the fifth witness was James, brother of Jesus, in verse 7. And then in verse 8, it says that all the apostles saw him. And seventhly, Paul himself was the witness of his resurrection, verse 8. And he says, as of one born out of due time. The resurrection is a reality, a fact that 2,000 years have not been able to disprove. It says in the scriptures that every case stands firm in the sight of two or three witnesses. And here we have seven witnesses, and there are many more, no doubt. So this, the case of the resurrection stands fast and firm, that Jesus Christ actually died and actually rose again from the dead. Thirdly, the importance of the resurrection. We read from verse 12 to 20 regarding this. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the main pillar of Christianity. If it was not true, then all of Christianity would fall apart. All the miracles recorded in the Bible, all the doctrines and wonderful truths of the Bible would have no meaning at all. Our faith, our Christian faith, stands and falls with the resurrection. What would be the consequences if the Lord Jesus Christ had not really risen from the dead? We read of them here in 1 Corinthians 15. The consequences would firstly be that our preaching would be or is in vain, verse 14. Secondly, that our faith is in vain, verse 14 and 17. And then that we would be false witnesses, verse 15. And fourthly, we would yet be in our sins, verse 17. Fifthly, the dead in Christ would have perished, verse 18. And lastly, we would be of all men most miserable. But then verse 20 comes, this wonderful verse which says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. And therefore we have this wonderful chapter in 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, the resurrection chapter. And the resurrection completely changed the apostles. It took a good while before it really sank in, and they really understood that Christ had risen, and what it meant both for God, for the gospel, as well as for them as apostles and personally. Luke, in his first chapter of his gospel, is writing how carefully he had searched for the information regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, the historical facts, in order that Theophilus, that he wrote to, should see how faithful and true the record of Luke's gospel was. And then in Acts chapter 1, Luke is again writing. He says in verse 4, no, in verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Many infallible proofs. So we see the importance of the resurrection. And then, fourthly, the meaning or the significance of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ proves to us that our faith and our preaching is true. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:15, "For this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to save sinners, and including in that salvation is his death, burial, and resurrection. It is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation." Secondly, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ proves the deity of the Lord Jesus. Romans 1, verse 4. "And he is declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." Then thirdly, the resurrection proves that our sins are forgiven. As we read in 1 Corinthians 15, we saw that if Christ had not risen, then we were still in our sins. But now he is risen, that means that our sins are forgiven. You have received sins forgiveness because the resurrection of Christ proves it. And then the resurrection of Christ also proves our salvation. Romans 10:9. "That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." So our salvation rests on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then also eternal life rests on the resurrection, because we read in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 21, "For as the Father raised up the dead, says Jesus, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth them whom he will. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him who sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God," that is through the gospel, "and they that here shall live." So eternal life also rests on the resurrection. Sixthly, our justification also rests on the resurrection. Paul says in Romans 4, verse 25, "But for our sake also, to whom it shall be imputed, that is righteousness, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." So we were made righteous or justified because of Christ's work on the cross, and the resurrection is the proof of it. Then seventhly, our regeneration. We were born again because of the resurrection. Peter says in his first epistle, chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, that is, regenerated us, or given us a new birth, unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Eighthly, our identification or our union with Christ rests on the resurrection. Romans 6 verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And then ninthly, his high priestly ministry for us in heaven rests on the resurrection. Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And then in Hebrews we read in chapter 7 and verse 16, who is made a priest, not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. But this man, because he continueth ever, or lives forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he liveth to make intercession for them. Because he lives, he prays for us. And as long as he lives, he will pray for us. He will never stop praying for us. Wonderful to know. And then tenthly, our sanctification also rests on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctification that Christ through his Spirit gives us power to live the Christian life. In Romans 5:10 we read, for if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, or now that we are his friends, we shall be saved by his life. Not his life that he lived on earth, but his life that he now lives in heaven, and by his Spirit lives in the Christian and in his church. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:15, Paul says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died and rose again for them. And then lastly, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ proves and guarantees our own resurrection, our living hope, and our heavenly inheritance. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And in 2 Corinthians 4:14 Paul says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall rise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Peter says in his first epistle, as we already have read from in chapter 1, God who hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. So, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of all these 11 biblical truths. So we see how significant and important the resurrection of Jesus Christ is. In the calendar choice gleanings for Friday the 22nd of March, I read this wonderful verse, Mark 9:10. They kept questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. This was the disciples while Christ was still with them. And this brother is writing, only after the resurrection of Christ did the disciples understand its significance. It meant, firstly, that his messianic claims were fully vindicated, Romans 1:4. That is the past. It also guarantees that the dead in Christ will rise at his return, 1 Corinthians 15:23. That is the future. It further means that Christians can enjoy, even now, the mighty power of the resurrection in their lives. Philippians 3:10. That is the present. Wonderful that the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and shed his blood to ransom us, is alive today and lives in the power of an endless life. The scientist Faraday demonstrated once the possibility of God to resurrect a human body. He had some acid or fluid there in the containers, and he took a vase of gold and put it into this container, and it dissolved immediately and disappeared. Then he took some of these fluids, poured them into that container again, and the gold appeared. And he took this lump of gold and said that the goldsmith is able to make a vase even more beautiful than the previous one that dissolved. Now, when a Christian dies and goes into the earth, he disappears. But God, in his wonderful power, is able to raise the body up of the earth, out of the sea, or wherever the body is. He is able, in his wonderful divine power, to resurrect you and me, just like he did when he resurrected the Lord Jesus Christ on the third day. It is wonderful to know that whether we live or whether we die, we shall be with Christ. If we die, we shall be resurrected. If we are alive at his coming, we shall be transformed and change. And Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working or the power whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. May God bless his word to our hearts this evening, shall we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for thy wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made all these things possible for us, and that we can put our confidence and trust in. Thy Son, all that he did for us, and we can know that we have eternal life. We can know that we are justified, and that one day we will be glorified. O Father, help us to rejoice in all these wonderful truths that the resurrection proves to us. Truths from the Scriptures that are working today in human lives, in human families. And I pray for each and individual one here tonight. Perhaps there is someone who is doubting his salvation, who has lost the joy of his salvation. O God, I pray that thy Spirit will speak to him or her through thy word again tonight. And as we part now, we pray that thou bless each one of us. For the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. Amen. Amen.